And that moment is very rare for this committee. No, you know, we're fighting with them. They don't provide us lunch. They throw the ball back at us.
What happened to committee?
Chair, I really think you owe us a Christmas lunch. I think you'll have to find one of these multinationals to sponsor you.
Then we would need to declare that, because the next thing, they would want that favor to be returned.
No, they're so afraid of you, they won't ask for any favor.
Let me look at that. Maybe we can talk to the multinational here, the committee section. They must look at the budget and see.
You want to talk to Barret?
Eh?
You want to talk to Barret?
Okay. Honorable members, then we have these sets of reports. Let's start with Northern Cape. Quite a thickish report. Indeed, the work itself was quite intense. And you do have an introduction, you do have a background, composition of the delegation, right through to page 2, where we did receive a briefing from the Department of Mineral Resources. I think as we go on page by page, we will do corrections, their comments, let us do it in this fashion. Let me table this report and let's take your comments. But let's reserve the area on recommendations and findings and recommendations, because that's where most of the discussion will have to take place. Of course, there will be some grammatic errors, typographical errors that you will pick up as we go on. But let me open it for discussion before I make any comments myself on the report. We unfortunately did not have sufficient time to sit with the committee section to do the final version. But what is before you is what we have agreed upon that we will table here. Let me put it for comments. It was a very important oversight trip, which constituted an eye opener for all of us. And but fine. Shall we receive some comments, except on findings and recommendations, if there are any other comments, so that we can then move to those two sections as finalizing the report. It must be in your package. It's a report of Northern Cape. Yeah, 26th to the 30th of July. Can I get your file? Yours is starting with a minute. It's towards the end where your reports are.
In the middle.
Is it in the middle?
I was in your office, I see.
You were in his office?
Yeah.
In
the middle.
No. He is the one who is looking for his report. There you are. The reports are starting there. You better put this back down. Ubu Krizel, you should have been sitting here. Not that far away. Better now. Yeah. All right. Any comments, honorable members? All right. I think, except the grammatic errors, substantial comments would be on page 3. Because in that 4.3, this deal between Alexco and the Rechtersveld community is still a challenge. Your second sentence, this led to Alexco City. Alexco has not yet ceded, you know, these land operations, the land operations to the community. This led to Alexco intending to cede, because that still remains an intention. You picked it up when we dealt with the trust fund. You picked it up also when we dealt with the CPA in Namakwa, that there's still a problem. Even Alexco themselves confirmed that these agreements have not yet been put into operation, particularly that pool and share arrangement. So there we'll just, because it's got a substantive meaning, we will then change it to, this led to Alexco intending to cede the land operations, blah, 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 and blah. And then the other substantive would be on page 5, bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Small-scale marine miners complained about the 5% royalties being paid to trust funds. If you remember, this 5% royalties is the one that has put, you know, that has thrown the, what is this thing, the pigeon among the what? It's a bone of contention in the area. Then on page 6, under 6.3, impact on employment levels. After the last sentence, where it says, from 2006 to 2008, a voluntary process was conducted, and from 2009 to 2010, retrenchments were effected instead of being made. And then the new sentence that would follow that would be that this exacerbated the situation of unemployment and poverty levels in the Namakwa region of Northern Cape. But Tarata will sit with you to deal with that. And those would be substantive comments. On page 8, under 6.12, under 6.12, benefits, there's a reference made here to a trust. About 4 to 5 communities, namely Rechtersveld, Namakoi, Kamisberg and Namakwa, are beneficiaries of the targeted trust. We did not mention this trust. I think it would have been this, but we must go back to our records. It would have been this NDFT, because those are the communities in terms of the trust deed of the NDFT. These communities are mentioned specifically in that trust deed, which is correct reflection in the report. But it's just that we need to mention what trust is. Because with the proliferation of trust in Northern Cape, we need to be clear, because this report goes to the House as well. Honorable members, those were my only substantive comments, except grammatic errors that we can deal with, typographical errors that we will deal with. So if there are no further comments, let's go straight to findings and change the heading from just change the heading to we remain with the findings, the committee observations. Let me allow you comment on that. Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Hululu, do I see any other hand?
Where are we, sir?
We are on the findings. You can have both findings and recommendations.
Can I say something?
It's
page 4. On page 3, which trust are we talking about at Brandtex?
Page
4.2. The second last sentence from bottom.
Yes.
A trust fund for rehabilitation purposes. That's
just wanted to say it's trust fund in that. Transnet is not committed, but involved, but has a trust fund. This is a Transhex trust fund. It's an in-house trust fund established by Transhex for rehabilitation purposes, but managed by Transhex. In terms of MPRDA, they are supposed to ring-fence certain amount of funding for rehabilitation purposes, which they cannot use except for rehabilitation purposes. Now, here in this instance, Transhex has not made any commitments as required by law, but opted for a trust fund which they have opened for themselves. Maybe we should say, in terms of your question, expensive involved, but has established its trust fund, so that it must be clear that it's Transhex trust fund. Honorable members, before moving. All right, I noted you, Honorable Schmidt.
Yes, I was not on this tour as such, so I can't really comment, except to ask whether the intended visit to the Northern Cape is going to ever overlap any of these institutions. My problem is I don't even know where we're going, and I need to, you know, you've got to weigh up odds. Your competing demands. So I'm just trying to establish, firstly, whether there's going to be a repetition of any of these institutions or not.
No. What happened is that when we looked at Northern Cape as a province, we discovered that it is vast, geographically, widespread. And we took that position to divide it into two. We concentrated on Namakwa region, in which case the companies that are operational there would be DBS, Transnet, Alexco, Black Mountain, and other companies. But in Kimberley, you have different set of mine operations. You've got more of DBS operating mines. In Northern Cape, DBS mines were largely dormant, except Clancier, which has been scaled down to somewhat from plus 2000 to about 190. And all they are busy doing is just to deal with rehabilitation. But in Kimberley, they are in actual mining business, where they've got their operations running in Kimberley mines as well as in Finch mines, in the DBS. Then the second entity would be Kumba Iron Ore, which is different from what we visited in Namakwaland. And the third entity would be this lime, open cast mines, land acres, and then you in Smith Drift. So it goes. And then, so the entities who are going to be interacting with are different, except one being DBS. But also in DBS, the difference is that they are now in actual operations in the Kimberley area, as opposed to their dormant operations in Namakwaland. All right, Honorable Hululu, Honorable Matibela. Honourable members, we are now on the findings and recommendations, so let's feel free to comment.
Thank you very much, sir. I'm not there yet. I'm just checking on the page 3, the on 4.3, on the last paragraph. I was under the impression that the Rippersfell community, together with Alexco, are now on this PSJV. Now I see here it was captured as supposed to form a PSJV. I just wanted to see clarity whether are they supposed to or they are already on a partnership.
What were your findings? What were your own findings on
that? I thought maybe it was a cleaning and sharing joint venture already in place.
No, there are still issues outstanding. remember CPA when we met them. They were lamenting to say Alex Coe is playing hide and seek game with them. They have not as yet implemented the agreement. And they were saying it's for now how many years since the signing of the agreement. Alex Coe itself indicated to us that at first there was going to be this 30%, you know, of the profit made given to CPA, but later they changed it to 10%, but later, even before implementing those, they then gave them a mining opportunity in terms of the tailing of the mine dumps. So this issue still remains elusive for both parties in terms of its implementation. If you remember, when we were dealing with Alex, when they even said they have not as yet transferred the mining rights to Rechtersfeld community as per the agreement. They were talking about all other outstanding matters. You know, also they made it a scapegoat to the issue of community differences, where there's apparently now contestation in terms of the leadership of the CPA itself. There's one group which now... So, and then, you remember, we said to them they should not use that as a scapegoat, because this agreement stems back from, I think, a 1998 agreement or so, when this whole matter was finally put into what you call. So, yes, the situation remains as reflected on the report. Okay, shall we?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Under projects, project progress, is this relevant, 6.14, wind and electric generator project?
6.14, your question is one of the materials?
The wind electricity generator project, is relevant to this?
Well, DBS was addressing us on their projects that are led, established by them, financed by them. And here, all they want is the government buy in. But otherwise, they've initiated this whole thing. Because what they were doing, they were telling us about their projects, from the Pelamon recovery to some of the farming work, and all those projects, including this project. Since they're doing quite well. Honorable members, then any other comments before we go to findings and recommendations? All right. Okay, let's deal with findings and recommendations. In findings, you will see that issues that you are raising are that there was that lack of communication between the municipalities and the communities on a number of areas. The people of Namakwa were living in abject poverty. That's the finding, the determination we made on the oversight. Informal the information presented by the mining companies is contradicted by the one from communities. Something we picked up. Mining companies will tell us this when you go to communities to test that information. You would find a different input. Mining companies cannot exactly account for the trust fund. At that stage, we were not aware what is their obligation. All what they would say to us, we just throw in this money and we have no say. But we since discovered that in the trust deeds of both, you know, trust funds, they have representation provided for. Community is not familiar with the MPRDA. If you remember here, department made a commitment to run some workshops, and there were some dates that they gave us. There's great similarity between problems encountered by communities, for instance, of Port Nolos, of Sandrift, and Alexander Bay. We took note of that. Now I want us to add another bullet point, which would read that there was a lack of social infrastructure and community amenities. Again, another bullet point which would indicate that we have discovered high levels of unemployment in that region. If you have a comment, stop me in my tracks, Honorable Members. Yes, Honorable Hulu.
Let's go to page number 16.
16, yes, that's where we are.
Yeah, on the fourth bullet, let us correct the grammar. The similarities between problems encountered by communities of Fort Knowles and Drayton, Welfare, and the other day were noted.
Similarities, yes. Okay. All right. Yes.
I note your comment in the second bullet saying the mining companies cannot exactly account for the trust fund. But it seems to me, if I read this report, neither can the community itself. So it's not only the mining company, the communities as well. So we should add the community there as well. But my concern is that who is accountable? Because the mining company says there are a trustee, one of the trustees of that trust, Transex came to say, they're trustee, but don't ask me about the trust because it's managed by a trust board. Now, isn't it then that we should get the chairperson of the trust board, board of trustees, to come and explain to us what the position is regarding the trust? Because each trustee is just saying, well, I don't know. The community says, I don't know. The mining company says, I don't know. Now, who should know? It can only be the chairperson of that board of trustees.
We've done exactly that.
On the CPA?
No, not the CPA, but the trust funds.
Yeah.
The Namakwa Development Trust Fund,
yeah,
as well as the Alexco.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were present in those directions. We are avoiding CPA precisely because they are administered in a different portfolio. They would fall under public enterprise. That's where they are accountable to. Only if they had received these mining rights would we have then called them to appear before us. We've made that determination when we interacted with them, that at the moment the monies that they are handling are monies that have been transferred to them by public enterprises in the form of deeds, the trust settlement. Tranches of what? One was 300 and something million, the other one was about 400 million or so, but quite a substantial amount. They then told us on their own that they are managing these monies to do A, B, C, and D. But on our own analysis, we discovered that at the moment, now that they are not yet participating in the mining activities, they would fall under public enterprise. That's why we chose to call only these trust funds that are receiving these royalties. Yeah, I don't know if that would satisfy your question.
Yeah, but then we need to state somewhere that we did not consult with the trust board or whatever, because giving a one-sided picture, the least we should do is to say the mining companies and communities cannot exactly count trust funds and should be, and the Department of Trade and Industry, whatever it would be, public enterprise, conduct an investigation or whatever, but we cannot. It's a one-sided view. Number one, number two, it's hanging in the air.
No. The trust fund referred to here is precisely the Namakwa Development Trust Fund. Yes, not the CPA. Maybe we need to name it in full. No. The mining companies, because the mining companies declared that they are making contributions to these trust funds, both the Namakwa and the Alexco. Maybe I think you are right, we need to be clear then. What trust funds are we referring to? So we'll mention them by name, both Alex Scott Development Foundation as well as Namakwa Development Trust Fund. So those two, which we in fact we met CPA.
I don't see the Namakwa Land Development Trust Fund being mentioned there also. You know, that's why it seems to flow. That's why I read it that way.
No. We met only them afterwards, so we'll mention them here, both by their name, that there's no accountability in terms of both the community and the company on that. Honorable Khululu?
Yeah, maybe just to create again a little bit further to say that these mining companies, because they contribute royalties to the mining trust, we should at least state that those are royalties. It's not just a contribution or a donation. Those are royalties to the trust fund, to those communities.
They are paid to those trust funds until the implementation of the Mineral and Petroleum Development Royalties Act, which came into action into implementation after it was suspended only now in March 2010. So it's only from March 2010 that companies will be required to pay their royalties to the state. But at that time, they were paid directly to the trust fund. All right? Okay, let's move on. I hope you have noted this lack of social trust infrastructure, high levels of unemployment. Then we're also mentioning that in our findings, we discovered that there are three mining companies that are holding monopoly of mineral rights in Namakwa. You can mention them by name. When you look at the land surface, you will find the three. When you look at the marine areas, you will find the three, being Transex, in fact, the other way around, being TPS, Transex, Alexco. So those three monopolize, we're told even in terms of land ownership, and they monopolize the almost the entire landscape of Namakwa. Farms that we were driving through, people there would tell us, these farms belong to Alexco, these farms belong to TBS, these farms still belong to Alex, to Transex. It's like a cartel which divided Namakwa into proportions of ownership by these three companies. We don't know where the idea originated, but it would appear as such, because right through the Namakwa belt, you find in the main those three, you know, companies. They monopolizing, as we speak, even the mining rights. The other bullet point would be also indicating that we have discovered that the mining companies have varying degrees of development projects. You've seen DBS, they've got a host of development projects that they have decided upon and that they are implementing. Transex also gave us their list of their own, and only Alexco, which was only handling the upgrading of the Alexander Bay township into being a city. The last bullet point under findings would be mining companies are not implementing the social and labor plans as required by law, are not properly. Let's qualify that, because they implement, but to a certain degree, they are not properly implementing the social and labor plans as required by law. That's what we found on the ground. Even for Transex, at one stage they wanted to claim the upgrading of Alexandra Township to be their social and labor plan contribution. But later, I think it was Honorable Mare who basically proved, you know, from their reports that no, this money actually comes from national government. All they are doing is to manage the funds. So he lifted that. that, and members seized on that moment that no, in fact, you don't have a social labor plan. You know, you have it on paper, but it's not funded by you as a Translex. The monies you are handling are coming from the Department of Public Enterprises. So that's why that finding has to be made quite clear, so that they don't sit under illusion that we are satisfied that they are implementing social and labor plans. Any further comments, honorable members, on findings, so that we can then move to recommendations?
Small.
Oh, yes, Schmidt.
I'm increasingly becoming aware of the fact that, you know, we, a lot of money companies do not comply, and that's across the board, whether it is new mining companies, whether it is old mining companies, whether it is all of them, a lot of them don't comply. And I point the finger, quite honestly, to the Department of Mineral Resources, because they should go there. They should inspect the property and say, this is your social labor plan. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Why aren't you doing it? It doesn't help we criticize and then we leave it. Problem of resources over which we have an oversight function should go then and say, this is what you're supposed to be doing. So we should be asking the Department of Mineral Resources, why is it that Mine A, which is a new mining company, which has applied for prospecting rights and has not been doing what it said it was doing, was supposed to be doing, why isn't it doing that? So we should have a step further approach in saying, okay, we acknowledge that, but what is the Department of Mineral Resources doing about that problem? Because eventually, it is DMR's responsibility to make sure that those mining companies are complying.
In fact, you are reminding me to consult my notes. I think it was Honorable Sonto, if not Honorable Matilela, who raised precisely the same point. What is the role of DMR? I think it was Honorable Sonto. We can include it there, that DMR has failed in its regulatory functions in the area. Because that's what we've discovered. It's either you listen to them in terms of health and safety. You know, there was this chap who was like praise singer, you know, of all these companies, until members probed him. Are you telling us that they keep all, for instance, surveillance records? Then he got stuck when questions were posed in terms of Mine Health and Safety Act. So indeed, the department has not played its role. I think thank you for reminding us. It was raised, you know, and I see it in my notes here. We'll include it here, that DMR has failed to play its regulatory function over these companies in Namango. Honorable Matibela, Honorable Kuluru.
Thank you, Chairperson. To add on what Honorable Schmidt is saying is, because also, whenever you talk to DMR, the health inspectors are not there. And they are the ones who must go in to see if mine companies are complying.
Attention of those with the civil report. like to have up here.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I think, remember, there's one oversight that still remains outstanding, which we need to plan and effect next year. We need to, in terms of what Honorable Charlie is raising, we need to go spend time in DMR's headquarters and say to them, here's the MPLDA, what is it that you're doing on your side to implement? If so, where are the reports? Here's Mine Health and Safety Act. What are you doing? The same way that we're doing with the Geosciences Council, with your MINTEC, because we go there with a piece of legislation and test the implementation of that. So DMR is administering in the main MPRDA. Within this MPRDA, there are sections which deal with licenses, there are sections which deal with inspectorate. Not inspectorate in terms of mine health and safety, but inspectorate in terms of enforcement of compliance to the law. And that's where I think the point raised by Honorable Charlie, you know, is driving us towards that maybe under the recommendations, we should include that an oversight must be planned by the committee to go to DMR to basically, you know, oversight them in terms of the implementation of the Act, because of what we picked up in Namakwa, that there's serious lack of, you know, or some form of abdication of their responsibility as the regulator when it comes to this matter. So thank you for raising that. But we'll include it in the findings as well as also in the recommendation. That point must be lifted to come out clear. All right. Let's move on to recommendations. The first recommendation is that DMR should examine the contract to see why the community is not benefiting from the mining operations. I don't know what contract is there. We'll find a better formulation. I'm sure this refers to conditions of license, because conditions attached to license, to the issuing of licenses, would also reflect, for instance, social and labor plan. That can constitute that kind of a contract, but we'll find a better formulation to reflect the meaning. Mineral Policy Branch of DMR should come and brief the community about the available opportunities. That's now the workshops we spoke about. It was decided that the committee would look at the issues raised by the communities and the presentation by Transex Group and decide on the way forward, which we have already done. In fact, we've called those trust funds to appear before us. Transex should finish audited financial statements of the board of Namakwa Development Trust Fund, copy of social and labor plans. Alex Koh should furnish committee with the terms of deed, trust, deed of settlement. Alex Koh is to provide more information on the trust fund, including audited statements. Alex Koh should provide a comprehensive and detailed list of BE transactions since its existence. Retrenched persons advised to take the matter up through the National Union of Mine Workers. I think we'll expand this one because that was in the course of deliberations. Community Property Association, that's your CPA, should submit the land claim documents to the committee just for our information. The committee plans to return with the Department of Mineral Resources mining companies, you know, the De Beers and other stakeholders to ascertain what can be done to alleviate poverty in the Northern Cape in general and Namakwa in particular. That's now the conference that we will be looking at. Black Mountain Mine should consult the community directly to ascertain their needs. Then, in addition to those bullet points, the first bullet point that we would need to include would be that need for the conference was spoken about. Within the body of the report, there's a mention of the project of the conversion of the old hostels by DBS into correctional services facility. So we need to then recommend that the Department of Correctional Services is urged to support the correctional center in the old Dreyerspan hostels, the conversion, because DBS said they would do that, but obviously they would not have capacity to manage that correctional service going forward. So it has to be transferred to the appropriate state department. And then we would say the MPRDA must be amended to deal with mineral rights that are held by companies for long periods of time while the region and the province deteriorate into abject poverty. This scenario that we have seen in Northern Cape, which we think we will see or discover in other provinces, where these companies who play monopoly would hold on to mineral rights, scale down their operations, and plunge, you know, the region or the province into poverty. Meanwhile, they holding on to mineral rights. We know that in terms of the MPRDA currently, there are certain provisions they are not adequate to address that specific, you know, problem, because we are all aware that mining industry is in terms of investment a long-term investment, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, and so forth. Whatever time period is there, if that particular entity has not put those mineral rights into operation, and if in terms of its actions there has been, you know, negative impact on the community, because the rationale here is, to what extent can we leverage our mineral resources to be able to develop communities in the particular region where they are found? Because this is a very big problem that talks to the country at large. We are declared by internationally reputable bodies as the most wealthiest country when it comes to mineral wealth. But again, we are declared as the most, you know, country that is mostly, what is this thing? We have high levels worldwide of inequalities in terms of Gini coefficient. Now that inequality goes with high levels of poverty in the country, and now it's an anomaly that needs to be addressed. And one of the major, you know, contributing factors that result into the reduction of poverty are job creation. And in this instance, the question of mineral resources should be put into proper use so that jobs can be created for a particular area. So therefore, as and when amendments are considered for the MPRDA, this matter must be kept in our minds so that we are able to interrogate its possibility, to interrogate its impact, you know, and also the intended outcome that we would be looking at. Because what we have seen in Northern Cape is quite a funny situation where companies with mineral rights are now playing a role of being the regulator. They hold these mineral rights. They make a call for the declaration of interest, in which case they would want contractors to come in. These contractors must shoulder all manner of risks, including material, including the equipment, including employment. But then the main holder of these rights will then share in the production. It is quite an anomaly situation, which to us it's more of an exploitation than anything else. So instead of these companies ceding these mineral rights to those that can develop them for the benefit not only of themselves but also of the community within that region or province, they just choose to raise and give 10% here, 10% there to contractors. And indeed, you know, DMR could not explain to us why is this permissible. Because we wanted to know, because the adjudicator over the granting of mineral rights is DMR. But why now these companies undertake this kind of work themselves? So that's why those amendments would then be required, so that we clarify legal basis of the usage of our minerals. Honourable members, those would be the notes that are made, but please feel free to add. Also, in line with the issues that we have raised now, I think we need to add the question of DMR in terms of its role as a regulator in the industry. But we can coin waiting towards that. Any comments? So that we move. All right. With that, can we move the acceptance or the adoption of this report with all the amendments, the corrections that are made? Honorable Mare is moving. Honorable Sonto is seconding. We thank you very much. Let's move on to the other report. Okay.
I feel terribly aggrieved with this report, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I see. I took all the trouble to go to Pretoria for one day, and I'm not even mentioning this report. I was there for one full day.
Oh, no. It must have been an omission. Is your name not on here?
No, Mr. Chair. I see it. See, it's parliamentary delegation. I think I attended the first day.
Last report, geoscience, the visit to Geosciences Council. Can we do the same thing with this report? Reserve comments on findings and recommendations, and comment on any other matter on this report. The dates were there from the 2nd to the 10th. Sciences. Any other comment except on the findings and recommendations? Honorable Machilela?
I looked at the wrong report. I looked at the Minte.
Oh,
but it's quite right. It says there. Sorry.
A lot of in mind.
So your name is properly reflected there. Honorable Khululu.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm not happy here with this one because my name is not there. The thing is, if you remember, Chair and Honorable Members, I was part of this one. And I got injured when we got when we were in Joburg, and I could not attend the one meeting, but the geosciences, I was there, and when we were supposed to go to the meeting, I could not go. So can you please put my name on the geosciences there? I was there.
We will put it also on the MINTEC because you were injured on duty. You were injured on duty, so we will also make that correction on this other one.
Thank you very much, well, for your indulgence.
Okay. Any comments? All right. All right. In page one,
Bullet point 1 towards the MPS. I've just been pointed out, Mr. Chair, that on paragraph 4.8 of this report,
yes,
and the mineralogy, I'm not sure whether it has been stated as such. If it's been stated as such at the meeting with the Council for Geosciences, 4.8.
4.8. Are you looking at the same report?
No. No,
it's wrong report.
Sorry.
Okay. Honorable Kululu.
Thank you very much, Chair. Once more. I don't understand this thing. But I see when you capture these names of these honorable members here, I think we need to write Honorable so-and-so, not Mr. so-and-so, because it's a parliamentary thing. So I think it should be appropriate to put Honorable Schmidt or Honorable Gona, Honorable, instead of writing Mr.
Is that not also to take care of the gender?
Also with the female Honorable as well.
You won't be able to differentiate. If you say honorable, then it's only names.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I did not know. At least I know something to say.
Mr. Miss, Advocate, Doctor.
Okay.
You're giving people their proper titles.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Any other comments, honorable members? Very well. As I was saying, on page 1, bullet point 1, instead of this thing being a mandatory advisory authority, it's a national advisory authority, the Geosciences Council, to reflect the proper reference to the bill. Then, except grammatic errors on page 3, this is not numbered, this is left to number it. The very top bolded sentence, the notable, it was reported that the Mine Health and Safety Council has funded the CGS for 16 million rand on the pilot study. We need to mention that study, it is on seismicity. On the pilot study on seismicity for 12 months, because that's specific, that funding. That would be that substance. It's on page 3. Sorry, they are not numbered, but the third page. The very top bolded sentence, NB, that starts with NB. Yeah. Instead of just saying 16 million for pilot study, we need to mention what study is that, because we were given that information. is on seismicity. Seismicity. Zama zama womhlaba ugama mungele. Follow ground. Okay? Then if there are no comments, honorable members, let's go to findings. First proposal I want to make is that we make findings and recommendations to be one heading. Because when you read those findings, in fact, they are recommendations. And let me allow you to comment before I venture into some comments. Do we agree? Will it make a good reading first? Because this report is going to the House. Do we say findings and recommendations? Honorable.
It says in the first sentence, I don't know, isn't there a way of look at the matter of rising? What is this? Acid mine water levels in the East Rand area. Instead of flooding of water. I don't think it reads correctly.
Okay. I didn't see it in by the Interministerial Committee need to be made within 6 months to look at the matter of rising tables of rising water tables. Rising water tables as a result of acid mine drainage.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Okay.
Yeah,
you can use my area. In the Nevada River, rising water tables, yeah, as a result of acid mine drainage in the east. You said, are you comfortable with the eastern area, or you say the rent area?
The rent area.
Brackets plus minus 3%. On the research capabilities in order for us to be in line with other countries. This stems from the report tabled before us by both MINTEC and Geosciences Council, where they were indicating the comparison of South Africa in terms of its investment on research capabilities, that we are sitting at a 0.5% of our GDP, whereas other countries, you know, they are at 2%, 3%, you know, the highest would be at 5% investment of their GDP on R&D, research and development. And therefore, we need to make this point as part of the funding, because even when you read outside of MINTEC and Geosciences, when you look at the CSIR and this scientific body for human science, I don't know what is it called, HRS, something of that nature, they are also struggling in terms of capacity for them to research. And it's because it's more important here, especially when we discuss the MINTEC report, we will discover that we have a huge potential in terms of the establishment of the beneficiation industry. But we'll deal with that when we get to discussing MINTEC. So this bullet point is in line with that we're urging the country to move forward in terms of increasing our funding on our research capabilities. Is there any other addition that you would want to make on this level? If not, shall we move the... Yes?
Sir, with that top bullet point, just the meeting between metro municipalities.
Will we stop on?
The last week.
Okay.
Meeting between metro municipalities and provincial minister of local government needs to be arranged. Does it make sense to someone who's looking?
Or to do that?
Yes.
So that's your question.
Yes.
It is in relation to this matter of the asset management and the potential of the damage caused by the onerous and terrible mine. Maybe we need to go back on this. Can you remind me? We need to go back on this, because if it doesn't mean what I think it means, we need to expand.
Yeah.
So that we don't just call meetings to sit without defining the purpose of such a meeting. Then come across clarity, then we clarify what is the intention and the purpose of such a meeting. Thank you. All right. Can we move the whole package? The amendments that have been, the additions that have been made?
I'm looking for a move in the second, so that we go to the last report.
Moved
by Honorable Sonjo, seconded by Honorable Khululu. First one, the IAS of the Cape was moved by who? Seconded by... The last report, honorable members, is the one on MINTEC, which was from the 4th of August to the 5th of, to the 4th to the 5th of August. Of course, we'll add you, honorable Khululu.
Thank you.
On the report. And shall we make comments on all other areas except again the area of findings and recommendations. It would appear then that we were a bit lazy, but when we discuss, you will see that there are more additions that were made. But we will go through them together. But can we comment on any other matter except findings and recommendations? Honorable Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My previous objection, which was took place just in respect of country geosciences, is more valid with regard to this report. But if you look at paragraph 4.8 under mineralogy, I'm not sure whether this was reported as such under mineralogy in the way it has been done. If so, then of course it is a minute of what was said. I mean, then we can't change it. But if it's a deduction on what we saw and what we observed, then I have it on reliable information that if you read the mineralogy, it says mineralogy division runs a dedicated diamond provenance laboratory funded by the UK Diamond Fish Nickel Regulator, and it could do the state of the art laser ablation inductively coupled plasma, whatever that would mean, then mass spectrometer whatever that. But it cannot apparently the following words in an RV should be removed: diamond shape, color, surface feature. That particular equipment cannot determine diamond shape, color, surface feature, but it can trace element and can be reported for any submitted sample. At no cost is also questionable, but once again it is prefaced by, if that is what was said, this is just a minute. If it is a deduction from what we saw, then we would like to have that rectified. You follow what I mean?
I'm trying to follow. You know, you're saying it cannot determine these machines.
Yes.
You're saying they cannot determine the shape.
The specific machine, the specific equipment. Mintec might be able to do it, but not with this particular machine.
Okay. I follow you now. Because that LAICPMS, is that what you're referring to? Okay. Okay. No, I understand. Maybe we can change the formulation.
Who would like then to ask you that diamond shape, color, surface feature just be deleted?
Well, of course, we'll have to find a way of including them, because when we were taken through by Mintec, it might be that we were coming across, you know, the caliber of the machines for the first time, where we might have mixed, you know, two things here. Because at some stage, they were able to demonstrate to us in terms of the high-level technology that they have, which will enable us to basically determine the shape, the color, and the surface feature. But the reason being that they are playing also an advisory role to the state diamond regulator. And for regulator to do its work effectively, they would rely on the technical information from Mintec itself. Yes.
Can we excuse that it reads that funded by the SA Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator, in order to determine diamond shape, color, surface feature, and trace element, inter alia by virtue of the application of the laser ablation inductively. In other words, you're saying inter alia, this machine can do all of that. So there are other machines as well, but inter alia, this machine can determine.
The word one is that inter alia?
So all I'm saying is just turn it the other way around and say, if you look at the first line, funded by the SA Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator, in order to determine.
All right, just be slow there.
In order to determine.
Okay, in order to determine
the diamond shape, comma, color, comma, surface feature, and trace element by the use of inter alia. The odd laser ablation inductively coupled plasma. In other words, you're saying inter alia that machine does can determine all those other issues. You follow what I mean? The third line, the odd laser ablation inductively coupled. And then, of course, at no cost, it's not possible because any test in life costs money.
No, I'm sure
this
no cost refers to the
fact
that it's fully
funded.
Okay,
all right.
By the regulator.
At no cost to the regulator, then?
At no cost to maintain.
Yeah.
All right. We can clarify that at no cost to maintain. Okay. All right. All right. No, that's fine. You got it. Remember. All right. We will after that, like I said, the SPSD BMR in order to determine the
diamond
shape,
feature,
and trace elements
by use
inter alia.
By the use of inter alia, and not laser ablation induction.
I think we've got the essence and we'll change it as such to reflect that. Okay. Any other comment? Yes.
Jefferson, this is a comment. I don't understand that. Is this a new member of the committee?
No. He is a member of the public.
No, he seems to be very active in this report. That's why I wanted to know if he's a member of the new member of the DA.
The new member of the public.
He doesn't have a right to speak, but he can make notes from behind for whatever member that he would want to influence. And I would take it in that line that you see he speaks through us. All right, okay. Let's move on to findings and recommendations. Do you have any comments on findings so that we can then deal with that? All right. What I want us to do is to make additions. It's quite clear the funding remains the main challenge for MINTEC. And it tells here that the younger, you know, graduates, you know, would end up being challenged as a result of that. MINTEC supports the establishment of state-owned mining company. That's what they said. Then the additional bullet point would read that MINTEC has high levels of technical and professional expertise. In the field of mineralogy.
Technical and what?
And professional expertise in the field of mineralogy. The additional other bullet point would be MINTEC have huge potential to assist the country in the local beneficiation of all our minerals that we have discovered. In fact, their services stretched beyond the borders of the country. They have undertaken work abroad. The other bullet point would be to assist the country in local beneficiation of all our minerals. Local beneficiation of all our minerals.
the other bullet point would be that the country must increase its investment in research capabilities. Oh no, no, that comes to recommendations. No, that comes to recommendations. Unless we make one heading, yeah. No, it's all right, it's okay. It's okay, we'll make one heading here as well. Then we'll say, must increase its investment in research capabilities. The other bullet point, Mintec's expertise must continue to be promoted, to be used and promoted worldwide. The reason for this bullet point in terms of the recommendation is that there's a tendency that we undermine our own capabilities. For instance, in the delegation of the state president to China, to Russia, we picked up from the report that the Minister of Trade and Industry alluded to possibilities of us receiving technology for beneficiation from Russia. And our view is that instead of receiving technology from Russia, we need to exchange technology between countries. Because what we found when we went for the oversight at Mintec, there is a project which is overseen by Russian scientists, and they are doing that work within the premises of Mintec. But that technology had to be improved when it arrived in South Africa. Mintec had to undertake further research, and indeed, for it to be compatible for use in South Africa, Mintec had to undertake, you know, improvements on that technology. Even though it's a technology that was imported from Russia for use in the country. So, which therefore demonstrated to us that there's a tendency for us to undermine our own capability that could then be exported elsewhere. That example of Russia is a very demonstrable, you know, example. And the other bullet point would say, Mintec must continue developing scientists from within the country, comma, concentrating on young and historically disadvantaged South Africans. Concentrating on young in general, and historically disadvantaged South Africans. Mintec must continue developing scientists from within the country, comma, concentrating on young and historically disadvantaged South Africans. The reason why we're making emphasis on young, you would find that even when you go to the pool of geologists, we are told that the scientists are aging across the spectrum. And therefore, there's a greater need for us to attract more young people into this field. And also, there's a need, secondly, to lift the formerly disadvantaged South Africans to enter into the field of scientists. So Mintec is better placed to can do that in collaboration with other science bodies, research bodies. That bullet point which says the members of the committee extend the invitation to Mintec to discuss possibilities challenges of mineral beneficiation. I would want us to expand that for now, because we need to be on the heels of the Department of Mineral Resources for it to produce the beneficiation strategy. Upon receiving that, we look at what capacities do exist anyway, including MinTech, including geosciences, including CSIR, and any other scientific bodies. So therefore, I would propose that we expand that for now and leave with those that are there. Further comments, Honorable Members? Honorable Khulul?
Thank you very much. Are we done with this?
We are done.
Are we adopting now?
Yes. There are no comments, we are adopting.
My comment, Chair and Honorable Members, is that really I must thank the person who compiled this minute.
First, let's close the report. First, let's adopt the report.
Oh, I'm adopting it. I'm moving.
You're moving, let's get a second.
Oh.
Any seconder? Honorable Marais. Move by Khululu. Seconded by Marais. You can make a comment there, sir.
Thank you very much. I must thank this person who I think is Norutando, our secretary, for compiling this meeting. I must say they were very.
Let's correct you. Norutando was not even there.
Oh, he was not there. Oh, I'm sorry. Ayanda Fosse. I think you did a very, very beautiful job together with Bonseni, our researcher. I think they did a very, very, very good job.
Yeah.
Together with yourself and all honorable members in this house. And all of you did a good job. Minister, perfect. Thank you very much.
Your comment at first it's concentrated, later it loses its meaning. Because you end up thinking, all of us. Okay? Whereas at first, I'm sure your target was to compliment people who drafted the report.
Yeah,
we
all those.
We agree with you on that.
All those who were part of this compliment. Those who are not there, no. Can't compliment those.
Honorable members, that. Brings the end of our business, and let me thank you very much for the work that has been done. Oh, you know, when I count these meetings, including the ones that whose minutes are still coming, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17. I'm sure we must have done more than 20 meetings, close to 25. We must have done close to 25 meetings since, closer to 30 meetings since we opened. And but remember that some reports are not in our package, those reports that we dealt with and we've approved. So it therefore means that this year indeed was a year that you really worked, including your oversight, which you will be finalizing next week. Started this work, honorable members, you know, coming to the meeting, it's not just a matter of attending a meeting. You apply your mind on issues. It goes with research. Some of you, sometimes you raise questions here that would even take me aback, the amount of research work that we have done before coming to the meeting. I really want to second Honorable Khululu in appreciating the work done, you know, by this committee, and hope that and wish that next year we will do the same. We will demonstrate the same commitment that we have demonstrated in the entire year. I can
say Honorable Schmidt would want to say something before I close off.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to ask, it's clear that the issue of the state-owned entity and the nationalization debate is somewhere in the gathering momentum. I know there was, at some stage, an indication by the committee that you were going to embark on a visit. We were to Chile, and I can't recall where else, somewhere in Southern America. Sorry, did I miss it? My apology. I'll have to speak to my deputy or to find out what exactly.
Now that's one issue that we started with, to clarify where are we, what is expected, and so forth. So that visit is still outstanding. Still outstanding. Although we're not dealing with nationalization, you are aware of that.
Well, we're not, because it is a state. Well, it's not policy of the Department of Mineral Resources on that, but it's about the state-owned entity.
Well,
normally,
you know, even journalists make this confusion when we gather here. You know, the portfolio committee is discussing nationalization. We have not started. Honorable members, then we would then receive the update information from the Secretariat in terms of both the oversight for next week as well as the study tour for January. What I will do, I will host you at the oversight visit. We will have a special evening where we will all eat in one around the same table. You see, you raised this thing too late. This is our last meeting. If it was raised with me earlier on, I would have made means seriously. But let's just make an undertaking that when we come back next year, let's find a very good reason for us to have lunch outside of Parliament. If it includes a meeting outside of Parliament, so would it be. So that we can reflect, in a relaxed mode and then discuss our work, and then at the same time get to talk about what happened at the end of the year, what happened in the oversight, in the consisting study tour, and all of that. So for now, I must be honest with you, we will not have another time, because this is our very last meeting. So for next year, we will keep it in mind. Provided we are expecting some announcements tomorrow. We don't know if the announcements will come in the first place, and we don't know what will they entail. The reshuffle happens at the cabinet level, then it has a direct impact to committees. So you will find chairpersons either added on, moved around, deployment goes with that. You don't know what's going to happen when there are changes. Changes, of course, are natural. In any institution, changes are natural. So if we are still together, next year we'll have that lunch or dinner or whatever we want to call it. But if there's a change of guard, I'm sure we can still influence the committee section to do the same thing. We'll come as visitors to enjoy that lunch. Honorable members, I don't want to hold you further. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.